Welcome to The Truth Lies Between, case number 2 on Jessica Van Zandt Dietzel. And this episode is on Rego Miller. So if you haven't been able to figure out by now, we are going from person of interest to person of interest. And when we originally decided on doing an episode on Rego, it was a really hot topic at that moment, as far as what was coming in as tips. Obviously not. I'm not going to speak about any specific tips because I don't receive specific tips, but just his address mainly, and that he himself is someone that people believe could do something like this. And we're going to go into details as to why that we also believe that. I mean, at this point, it's so wide open. You can't really say, oh, it's definitely this one or definitely that one. And with this case, it can go in so many directions as far as sex trafficking or even a possible random act of violence by an opportune killer. And obviously we hope and pray that, you know, she's alive and being trafficked, even though that's a horrible, horrible thing to think about. It's much better than the later, which is death. Now, this episode is about a month after the last one, and I apologize. We didn't plan it that way. It's just the way the chips have fallen at the moment. But there's going to be another bonus episode released right after this, and then I've already been working on the next episode, which is going to be a couple parts like the other one, because we're going to be talking about 3 different suspects, and those suspects are, especially one of them, her boyfriend at the time, is very important to talk about. So, with that being said, we're going to get into this episode on Rego. I urge everyone to please share, like, comment, let us know what you think, let us know some other things you'd like us to speak about, and I hope you enjoy. Every time I do this, I try to remember to talk about our other outlets. The reason it's so important is because to get awareness, you need people to follow you. If no one's following you, no one's getting that information, no one can share it. That's why it's important. Originally, I couldn't really drum up enough attention just talking about addicts and mentally ill, sadly, or as fast as I wanted to, so I had to cover other cases. I'd like to try to go back to just that, or mainly that, because there's no one else really doing that at the moment, and I think it's very important. So you can follow us on Twitter at @the_MPC network, Instagram at @missing_persons_network, Facebook and YouTube. It's the same. It's Missing Persons Cases Network. And if you're interested in just the mental illness and addict aspect, you can look up Destination Unknown. We also are going to be starting a Patreon and a few other outlets that I will be discussing soon. So as far as the Patreon, Missing Person Cases Network has one, but I don't think I officially set it up. What I really wanted to do was have a Patreon where followers of each podcast could come to, as well as, you know, there's a lot of other things we do, certain videos, and you know, we advocate for a lot of different people. You know, the main focus, like I've said, is addicts and mentally ill. But you know, Jessica's case has really opened my eyes to what domestic violence does for not just the victim, okay, but that victim's family, that victim's friends, and even the suspect. And that suspect's friends and family. There's another case out of Arkansas that's going to be the bonus episode of Alyssa and Braden Cannon. Braden's last name is different. I forget his last name, but... So Alyssa and Braden, they were brutally murdered. Not this past summer, the summer before that. And the coward who did it, Joey Wortham, is on the run. And every time I speak to Alyssa's mom, Angela, I can literally hear the pain in her voice. And it's not something... It's not something you ever want to really have to experience. Just like how I can see the pain on Christina's face. And even when she talks. But here's the thing. Jessica's child is still alive. So Christina really has to hold it together for her. To say the least. I mean, Christina has done an amazing job at many different facets, right? She's worn many hats throughout this. An investigator, PR. I mean, I could go on and on, but I've never seen someone so tenacious and able to get so much done having such a connection to the victim. Sometimes she flies off the rocker, but I mean, I'm surprised she hasn't actually attacked some of these people. So basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to discuss how, I mean, both of these cases are so similar. I'm seeing so many of these cases where basically what happens is there's an argument, right? And one of the parties or partners walks away, supposedly, and then they're never found again. We know that's not the details in this case, but we also know that Kenny is at the top of that list. Like I've said before, I think he's falling and falling. But he was an absolute piece of crap to her. And now people need to understand that emotional abuse is worse than the physical abuse. So Joey Wortham in that other case, and that's going to be a bonus episode. And basically he bludgeoned them both to death. Blunt force trauma was the death of the four-year-old. And this guy's out on the loose. He's a fugitive, and he's been out since June of 2019. And I'm going to get into that, but we're beginning to advocate more and more for domestic violence. There's so many things I never knew. And I was one of those ignorant people who was like, well, they should just leave. Well, they do leave. And these people promise them things, and they know they're just so manipulative. And, so maybe I try to advocate for too many different things, and I'm in too many different headspaces and all over the place, but that's just the way I am at the moment. So we're going to get into this episode, and make sure you tune in next week, because we're going to be talking about the Three Stooges, Three Musketeers, whatever you want to call them, and that's AJ, Brian, and Rambone. And I have a lot of things to say about them. Hope you enjoyed the episode.
Rigo is next up on our list of person of interest. There's not much out there about him. I know he was questioned early on, right?
Yeah, he's been questioned.
Now, the reason that we're even talking about him is because a lot of people have thrown his name out there with his address. And we touched upon that in the last episode, what went down at 622 Pick. So let me just make sure I'm getting this correct. His parents, very wealthy people, they left for the weekend, correct?
I think they were gone a little more than a weekend. They're originally from the Philippines, so they go to the Philippines a lot.
Okay. But however long it was, it was actually during the time where Jessica went missing, correct?
Yeah, they were in the Philippines at the time she went missing.
And when they got back, they had a ransacked house. I think we have pictures of that. If we do, I'll put them up. And a dead dog, right?
Yeah. The house was completely trashed. Stuff everywhere. The dog was dead. And just, that's not, I mean, obviously that's not how they kept their house. So whatever happened while they were gone, there were parties, all kinds of stuff going on over there.
Right. And so it's not just one person that has said this 62 pick. I mean, I know I've heard it over and over. I have a bunch of pictures that even are just anonymous people mentioning it. Now, there is a connection, though, which is Kenny and Rigo, right?
Kenny and Rigo are really close friends, right?
And now Rigo. Well, we all know how Kenny is as a person. He's basically not the best person. Not many people really like him. But what about Rigo? So, what's he about? Is he a drug addict, drug dealer?
He's definitely a user. A lot of people describe him almost as like a psychopath. A lot of people are afraid of him. He's made several statements to people that he could make people disappear in a barrel. He's been known, well, I mean, the rumor is that he has an obsession with guns, knives, weapons. I haven't found too many people who speak very highly of Rigo. Just a lot of people are actually afraid of him because of some of the things he said.
Now, has he, so for someone to be afraid just on things that are said, he must have done some of these things, because, you know what I mean, I can make a lot of threats, but he must actually do things or have power or something for these people to actually be afraid of.
I would guess so, and I would just guess, like, I know there was one person who did say that the first time that she ever had any contact with him, the first thing he was showing her was, like, guns and knives on a phone and talking about just crazy stuff. And so I don't know if that just like scares people off or if he's actually hurt somebody. I'm not aware of anybody, but I mean, I wouldn't be shocked.
Right. Well, I mean, the dead dog, I mean, that's interesting. Does anybody know how it died? Or
nobody seems to know how it died. I mean, there's theories out there, but as far as I know, no one knows how it died.
How old was the dog, you know?
Nope. I have no other information on the dog other than it was dead, and I don't know if it was dead and buried. They came home and found it dead. I'm not real clear on that part of it, but I know that it was unexpected that the dog would be dead, so I'm going to assume it wasn't an old dog.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of what I was wondering. Obviously, yeah, if they would mention that, then obviously it was out of the ordinary, because it wouldn't be something they would mention if they were expecting it. But now, there's one thing that you said that I think we should talk about a little more, and that's him saying that about the barrel, putting them in a barrel. Is he referring to chemicals?
I believe he's referring to chemicals. He didn't exactly say, but the statement, supposedly, of course, it's alleged that he made the statement that he could make a body disappear in a barrel.
Okay.
And I'm going to assume it has to be chemicals, because how else are you going to make a body disappear in a barrel?
Right, because so that's come up in a couple other cases. One of them is Matt Henry, and it's usually when we're talking about methamphetamine, because those people think that they're actual chemists, but I'm sure they can get their hands on chemicals that can make a body disappear. Now, does he use meth, or is he involved with meth, or?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. He would be more of a user, right?
He would definitely be more of a user.
Okay. So now when it comes to meth use, I don't ever rule anything out. Oftentimes bodies are moved, and we know that that's a very good probability in this case. Now, Rigo, as far as wealth, now he's not wealthy, but his parents are, correct?
I mean,
but would he have the need to disappear?
I don't think so, not without his parents' support. And I wouldn't say his parents are like uber wealthy, but they seem like they, you know, they have a nice home and a nice kept home, and they're, you know, respected people. They're not, I mean, since this has happened and the state of the house, I've heard that, you know, he's definitely not welcome there anymore, and I don't think they would help him at this point. I think they were very disappointed in what happened while they were gone.
Okay, now hasn't he kind of disappeared since all this, since he was questioned?
I don't know where he is, so.
He's not in town, though.
I mean,
I've heard from.
that's been a rumor. I have nothing to confirm that, but I mean, it has been a rumor that he's definitely laying low.
Yeah, some people, because I've actually been messaged by, I think, two people about him. And someone mentioned Florida, that he might be in Florida.
Interesting. I had not got that message yet, but we've heard. I mean, we haven't heard anything about him other than, I mean, there was a time when it was, pretty hot that we were talking about 622 pick and Rigo, and it's just kind of dropped off. It was looked at and it was looked into, and obviously nothing was found, but I don't know.
By
It's
Interpol,
came in
so.
so many times. It's kind of crazy.
Right. It was brought up on that phone conversation between Kelly and Kenny, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, so Florida, right? So you have to think, what about this? Is he friends with Etherton?
I think they knew each other. I
Right. Let me ask you this. Have you heard anything about her over being, her ODing and being put in a freezer?
What?
You've
No, I
not
haven't
heard
heard that
that?
one.
Okay. All
Who
right.
said that?
It was just a friend of mine that I know said that it was told to her that her body was seen in a deep freezer.
Everybody was seeing, see, I was, if everybody was seeing deep freeze, why ain't nobody said nothing about that?
Yeah.
Why ain't nobody reported it?
Yeah.
Because people also been telling her body was found. Just the other day, somebody said her body was found, and it was found in the river, and I was like, I don't hear nobody saying. I don't hear the news mentioning it. I don't, why ain't this been, broadcasted?
Yeah. No,
Because trust me, I've been doing my best. I've been keeping contact with Jeff and Haley. I've been trying to, I ain't trying to really too much keep in contact with Christina because she really.
Okay.
I
I'm
know for
wondering
a
on Florida.
fact that Kenny was seen over there at 622 pick with Rigo
That
around the
weekend.
February time frame. Yeah, around that time.
That's interesting. It's very interesting. Now, do we know if he has a record? Do you know anything about that? I mean, I'm sure I could look into it, but his
Not that
records are
I'm
public,
not
but not
unless.
Georgia, right?
Yeah, records are kind of different here. Nothing that I've been able to find.
Interesting, because I mean, just going even through like just some of the photographs that I was given by the family. I mean, I think I may have seen about 10 different people, and a lot of them are basically just saying, I'm not going on anything, but that place just like looks extra sketchy or something to that effect. And they even did set a spot, something about near a shed.
Yeah, there was a shed, and supposedly there was an anonymous person that came forward and said that Jessica's body was seen in the freezer at 622 pick.
So that brings us to the freezer again, which now I've said this like quite a few times. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but in these small towns, those first rumors are usually the truth, and then what happens is the people who do it, they put out other rumors to kind of combat that. I do believe that she was probably moved, so she may have been in that freezer.
Right. The person that came forward said that she actually seen her in the freezer. So, meth is
Okay.
involved in a lot of this, but so you just don't know. I mean.
Right, but so the thing is, like I said, meth. So before I found out about Crystal, I think that people were lying about things they say, but then when you throw that in the mix, I believe just about anything that can be said because people literally are like putting the devil in their body and doing devilish things. Now, I think I know what you're referring to. I think I actually have a video on it. Is that what the Blair guy tells this girl about, or that girl about 62 pick, or am I incorrect on that?
No, Blair didn't say anything about 622 pick. Blair said that his friend overdosed, that he never actually named Jessica, but his friend had overdosed and he was super upset. But that's independent of 622 pick. Two different stories.
Remember we were watching that video together where Christina's in it and she's yelling at someone? And
that's Blair. Blair, right? That's Blair, yeah. And he's talking to Lisa Mace.
Oh, that's when they're saying about being thrown in the river, right?
Yeah, he says his friend overdosed, and she was thrown in the river.
Okay, now have any of the main people that we talk about also mentioned 62 Pick or no? No, right?
Not really. It's mostly came through Anonymous, but it's not just been one or two tips on 622 Pick. There's been a lot of anonymous people about text me now numbers and different stuff with 622 Pick.
Well, that's why I brought it up, because none of the main players have mentioned it, because you probably know that that's possibly correct. Is that when Kenny kind of changes his demeanor?
That is. When he is told about 622 Pick, if you listen to the phone call between him and Kelly, he kind of tries to steer you away from it. And he's like, what? I haven't heard that. Almost like, and then he comes, I believe he circles back to, he starts talking about Porter's Corner, which is way far away from 622 Pick. And I think another thing, if you're not from here, to realize that's very important is 622 Pick is very close in proximity to the Ozone Lounge. It's not that. Yeah, that's one of the last places she was seen. It's not very far away.
And Kenny was also seen in that area around that time, right? At a gas station?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all kind of like right there in that area.
Yeah, I think that somebody even did a little map on websites that I can put up about the. It shows the places that she was and the distance and stuff. That's interesting, though, that we actually talked about that quite a bit when we did the episode on Kenny, and was one of the things that was really alarming to me, even when I first heard it, and the other time I listened to it, was the way his demeanor changed. You could almost feel the shift of energy, and then he tried to, like you said, circle back around, try and figure out who said it. He was trying to get that out of her, of where it came from. Which is another big red flag, because, you know, he probably didn't think that anybody was going to mention it. And like I said, though, none of those big players, like people who live in the homeless camp or Etherton or any, has ever said it, or even AJ, right?
AJ's never said it. Yeah, that's what led credibility to me, is that it was all anonymous, and his reaction was huge to me, because he definitely wanted to know who said it.
Right. And also tried to say, like, something about, oh, if that was true, I would have heard about it by now, or something to that effect.
And tried to downplay the relationship between Jessica and Rigo. They definitely knew each other, and he's like, oh, no, Rigo didn't know her like that. But he did.
Okay. Now, so that's good that you brought that up. I didn't even ask that. Now, what type of relationship was it? Was Rigo another one who was just kind of obsessed with her?
I don't know that he was obsessed with her. I've never heard that, but definitely that they knew each other better than Kenny was trying to lead on. There was actually someone who messaged me and said Jessica definitely knew Rigo better than just in passing. So were they friends? I don't know. I would say at least, you know, acquaintances, because they ran in the same group. I mean, this town's not that big, so everybody kind of knows everybody.
So Rigo could have also lied to Kenny, though, to make and play it off like they don't know each other, too, though.
Right, but Kenny and Rigo are pretty close.
Aren't they like best friends?
Yeah, they're pretty close. I don't know if they're best friends, but they're together a lot, so.
Right, so if Rigo's, like, hanging out or partying with her, I don't think that Kenny would be too happy about that.
Right.
Interesting. Now, that's what I'm trying to think. You know, we have motives with the others. What type of motive would it be?
I don't know, other than the fact that he's been described as kind of a dangerous, scary guy. Maybe right. He made a pass at her and she said no. Maybe he snapped. I mean, when there's meth involved, there, like you said, it can get crazy real fast. There's no telling. Was he hallucinating?
There's no reasoning either when it comes to meth.
Yeah, nothing makes sense. I think that's part of the reason that this case has gone on as long as it has, because there is meth involved, and this town is riddled with meth. I don't know how else to put it. It's
everywhere. Let me ask you this. Have you heard anything about her over being, you know, her ODing and being put in a freezer?
What?
You've not heard that? Okay. All right. It was just a friend of mine that I know said that it was told to her that her body was seen in a deep freezer.
If her body was seen in deep freezer, why ain't nobody said nothing about that?
Yeah.
Why ain't nobody reported it?
Yeah.
Must have been told her body was found. Just the other day, somebody said her body was found, and it was found in the river, and I was like, I don't hear nobody saying it. I don't hear the news mentioning it. I don't, you know, why ain't this been, you know, broadcasted?
Yeah. No, she.
Trust me, I've been doing my best. You know, I've been keeping in contact with Jeff and Haley. I've been trying to, you know, I ain't trying to really too much keep in contact with Christina, because she really,
you know, people are so paranoid. They're digging up bodies that they kill. It's just. And another thing is, most of the cases that I'm asked to even look at involve meth, because these people, they do this, you know, such crazy stuff when they're on it, you know, that no normal person would ever do. So yeah, I guess it's possible that she was even there that weekend when they were all partying, maybe something to do with the, who knows, right? It could be so many things.
And if the dog's dead, you know, I have heard that. I meant to mention that about the dog. I have heard of people testing drugs on dogs. Maybe it was a bad batch. Who knows?
Right, right. That's sick that people do that, but I don't put anything past meth head anymore.
No, absolutely not. And when I say this town has a meth problem, it seriously has. It has a drug problem in general, but meth is huge, and it is huge in the South. I don't understand it, but it's huge here, and in that group, meth is, I mean, it's been known, Rigo's been known to do meth. A lot of the players in this have been known to do meth.
Right, and even Jess, she was on to do meth every now and then, right?
I've heard that. Yeah, I have heard that. I've heard yes and no, but with the people she was hanging around, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. Now, to me, what makes him a little bit higher up on that list is how he's kind of gone missing.
He's kind of super quiet. That's kind of got me, like, a little shook, too. Like, I haven't heard his name come up lately, and he's just, I haven't seen anything, or, you know, he's laying real low. I wouldn't be surprised if he's out of town.
Right, and also, so, as the podcast began, as I went over different suspects, you know, I was asked by a few people to take a look at him. That's why he's even being talked about right now. And these are anonymous people. You know, they don't really have much to do with the case, but just basically tips. That's why I put a lot of credibility in it. And he was, do you know if he lawyered up?
I don't think he has a lawyer, not to my knowledge, no.
Okay. But he was questioned.
Yeah, he was questioned. Yeah, he was questioned. And 622 pick was looked at. I don't know how well it was looked at. I know when the APD did the initial search there, they walked out to a shed and they maybe searched for 10 minutes. I would be willing to bet Daugherty County or Lee County, whoever searched, because I do believe it was searched more than one time, like the outside part of it. I would be willing to bet you that they did a more thorough search. But, I mean, so much time had lapsed at that point. I don't know.
Right, I mean, all the tips that came in by then, if she, you know, pretty gruesome, but if she was there at one point, I highly doubt that she would have still been there when the thorough search was done.
Right, and there are some text messages you could probably show where Kenny was asking someone to come get him from Rigo's house, and that was in close proximity to when Jessica went missing as well.
Right, I do remember that.
So we do know that he was there.
Yeah, forgot about that. Yeah, you know, it's crazy because I always try to eliminate him, and he just keeps coming back.
I know, I feel that way too. I feel like we'll be going in a completely different direction, and then 622 pick will come back up. It's came up so many times by different people. Yeah, like it's different. Well, I can't say that it's different people because it's anonymous, but it doesn't see, like it doesn't seem like
the same person. Yeah,
it
right,
doesn't
right.
seem like the same the person, right? Different. Yeah, it seems like different people.
So, another thing that I saw recently, someone showed me a post. I believe the post was on the ShotStat page, and it was when someone mentioned that they were looking for Etherton. And I don't know the exact quote, but basically one of the messages that, you know, somebody sent me a screenshot because I hadn't seen it, was basically saying that, you know, Etherton didn't do it, but he knows who did it, and he's scared for his life, and that's why he's not talking. Do you think he would be scared of, do you think Etherton would be scared of either Kenny or Rigo like that? Or is it, I'm thinking that it's somebody a lot more powerful.
How do I put this in a nice way? Etherton, yeah, he might be scared of Kenny or Rigo, but to that level, I just don't see it because they're all kind of just two-bit drug heads. Like, I mean, I think it, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to say it, like, horribly, but kind of not very powerful. Exactly. I mean, you know, they don't, they barely can get cars. So.
Right. They don't demand respect.
Right, right, right.
That's what always makes me keep coming back to Mr. Lawyer Up. But we can't really talk anything about that.
Right, that's what makes me think maybe not even Mr. Lawyer Up, but that there's someone more powerful involved. Because if that's true and he's scared, I just don't see him being... Maybe Rigo. I don't see anybody being scared of Kenny, to be honest with you. I mean, what is he going to do?
No, he's not exactly the most... If somebody's afraid of him, then I don't know.
They're silly, because he preys on women, and even then, he just... What is he going to do? Follow you around and call you a whore? I mean, come on.
Right. Right, and in that whole thing, he's only doing that because his ego was so bruised by her.
Right.
So,
Rigo's a little bit scarier, I would say. Rigo's a little bit scarier, just some of the things I've heard that people do. I mean, he freaks people out because he's, you know, kind of off. I've heard him described as off. I've heard him described as a psychopath. I've heard him described as scary. So maybe Rigo, but I just don't know to that level that I would be scared of Rigo, but maybe.
Right, well, so... I forgot who it was that even messaged me about him, you know, besides in talks with you and just other people just about possible person of interest. But they were basically saying that, you know, he's crazy, like just straight up crazy.
Yeah, I've heard that several times. Just gives you that crazy vibe from some people just the first time they met him and didn't feel comfortable enough to go back around him.
Right, and that could be... You know, crystal meth, people stay up for days on that stuff.
Right.
And it can literally change your brain around through psychosis. It can ruin your brain forever because I know in the South, too, they do a lot of shake and bake where they make it themselves and don't put the right ingredients. I mean, none of it is actually good for you, but...
Right.
You know, a little bit too much battery acid or whatever it is.
A little bit of Drano there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's you know that you can Google it if you haven't seen it, and you can see what they put in. It's not, you know, we're not talking about vegetables and fruit here.
Right. And I did hear
battery acid rain hole.
Hear that there was some bad batches going around. That was probably in the March, April time frame, that there was just some real bad stuff out there. But I mean, I would say all of it's kind of bad, but maybe that's why the dog's dead. I mean, that's just a theory, but...
Right, and now people are smoking this and shooting it. So, it can, you know, just one bad bash can, you know, ruin your brain forever.
Right.
And that's why cases, they're just so hard to solve. Because then the people who met that addicts are usually on meth all the time if they're awake. So they're paranoid, and it's just...
Yeah, the paranoia is real. That's what scares me about 622 Pick, was at a party and he got nervous and paranoid. I mean, we have heard people refer to Jessica as the police and say she was a snitch. I mean, Kenny said that. So is that what happened? I mean...
Right. We have no proof that she was, you know, a snitch, but...
Yeah, zero proof that she was an informant. Zero proof of any of that. But that, you know, Kenny had said that. And I'm sure he had ran his mouth to multiple people because that's just his MO, so...
Right, and he could have just thought about that one day while he was paranoid on meth and then just...
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That's the problem, because a lot of these lies will get perpetrated throughout these circles. And these people are already paranoid, so if they're actually using while they're being told it, I mean, they're going to think it's a fact.
Exactly, and maybe Kenny's a snitch. I mean... He had all those drug charges, so maybe he was saying it to her, you know, about her to take the attention off of himself. He had a bunch of drug charges, and he got bonded out, so there's that.
Yeah, and it's usually the one who's so loud about someone else being a snitch that's actually the snitch.
Exactly, and he really liked to say she was a snitch, and other people, too. She's not the only one, so maybe Kenny's a snitch.
Right, I saw him talking to, I think it might have been her cousin or something.
Yeah.
They're calling her the police and this and that.
Yeah.
The whole conversation was just bad, but... Yeah, so... But one of the main reasons we even did this is because... Wow, the last episode was finished. I think there was a lot coming in about Rico. And that's... So that's what stinks, is that there was a lot of buzz about the case... and then, unfortunately, you know, we couldn't record again for quite a while. So hopefully more tips start coming in again.
Yeah, and reach out if you have information on Rigo, anybody, and if he made the statement to you, because he has made the statement multiple times to multiple people, things about bodies disappearing, just crazy stuff, and it could just be crazy stuff, but maybe... Someone out there, he said something to that, put with what law enforcement knows, could help us bring Jessica home. And of course, we all know that's the ultimate goal anyways.
Right. And in Jessica's group, is there still that anonymous message box?
Yes, there still is a free suggestion box. It's at the top of the Bring JVD homepage. It's 100% anonymous. Nobody would know.
Right, and I can attest to that, because I used to have it in most of my groups, and people just used to basically just say bad things about me, but I had no idea who it was. Like, you really have no clue. So if you really want to remain anonymous, that's probably your best bet. It's simple. You don't have to worry about anything.
Well, so I checked, because I don't want to put anybody in danger, and obviously there's somebody out there who is dangerous, because Jessica's not home. So I checked, and when I did a test, you know, I went on and did a test and tried to go back in and log in and see if I could pull it up and see if I could see, you know, anything. There's absolutely no way for us to know. The only thing it says is a date and then the tip. That's it.
Right. It's a very good tool. And like you said, yeah, you know, Jessica's missing, and there's other people missing in that town. So somebody is dangerous out there. That's why even like the smallest tip is so significant. You have no idea, because this could be none of these players, right? We don't know. I mean, we're not going to really talk about that right now, but maybe in a different episode.
And we could be completely off base, and it could be somebody from out of town. But if you saw something, even if it's small, but you think, you don't know what law enforcement knows. I don't know what law enforcement knows. So put together with what they have, it could be the thing that breaks it wide open.
Right. And another important thing that I want to point out with this case is that, you know, usually you'll see law enforcement being very single-minded, focusing in on one person, but they're not. They're really, you know, going down all avenues, anything they find out. So that's also what's good about this investigation. It's not like they have somebody in their eyes and they're like, this is who it is, and they're just focusing on it. So, you know, you could give the smallest detail, like you saw a car that was suspicious, or, you know, she might have been, you know, maybe working that night, or somebody said something that was off. Put together with what they have, like you said, is to be more than enough to bring Jessica home, which is the whole purpose of this.
Right, and there have been people that have came forward and provided information, and I'll go ahead and speak for the family on this one, because I know they appreciate all of that, any information, no matter how small. Like you said, it could break it wide open, and they will take you seriously. You're not going to get turned away. I am very impressed with both Doherty and Lee and the amount of interviews they've done and just the work that they've put into it. So you're not going to get turned away. Even if it's small, they want to hear it.
Right. And for that matter, Christina and Andy have done pretty well themselves as far as interviewing people.
Right, and if you're uncomfortable with law enforcement, I mean, message Christina. Everybody knows by now it's Christina Ann Johnson on Facebook or Andy Johnson. They're members of the group. There's a page you can message. Anything on JVD, the public group, go ahead and shoot us a message. Anything. And if you wish to remain anonymous, we'll keep you that way. If you're afraid, use the suggestion box. Any way you can get the information, get it. If you're uncomfortable with law enforcement, reach out to one of them first.
Yeah, I mean, they can even message me. I mean,
right. Who? I mean,
what? A lot of tips on the Matt Henry case. You know, I just send it right to where it needs to go. I don't have to give names.
Right. You know, have to give names.
Another thing is, I don't mean to interrupt you, but in that case, somebody was so afraid to put anything online, they actually wrote me a letter. So if you want to do that, if you want to handwrite something, I'll give you, you know, if you message me, I'll give you my address. And then I'll pass that on to where it needs to go. Because, you know, in that case involves a lot of meth, too. And, you know, when it came in, I mean, it might have been credible. I don't know. I passed it on to the state troopers. But that's how afraid that person was. Because in that case, too, there's some big players that people are afraid of. And that's usually what happens in these small towns where everybody knows everybody. And, you know, I just feel like it would have been solved by now if it wasn't somebody with some prestige, unfortunately.
Right. Or, you know, it's possible. I mean, that's why this podcast needs to go far and wide, because it's possible she's been sex trafficked and she's out there somewhere. And that's why we can't find her, because she's not here. We're looking here.
Right, right. Because sex trafficking is, in this case, you could say it's actually 50-50. Because of her age, you know, just the type of her, the way she looked, you know, how much money she would make these people. It's sick, but it's just the truth. And it's sex trafficking is just growing and growing and growing. It's not going to stop. And, you know, any little rumor is important. The whole Panama City connection, too. I mean, sex trafficking and right close. You have, like, the sex, down south there's a lot of sex trafficking, but Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, I don't know how close that is, but
it's not that far. Atlanta's right here, too. I mean, we're kind of
right
in the
center. I just know Myrtle Beach is, like, literally, like, the capital of the world for sex trafficking. But, yeah, Atlanta's hot, too. I've been reading a lot about Atlanta.
Yeah, there's a serious problem in Atlanta. Panama City, we're not that far from Louisiana. There's some spots in Louisiana that are, you know, known for that as well.
So, I mean, that's all we really have on Rigo, huh?
That's pretty much it. There's nothing else I can think of that we haven't discussed yet. But I would say this. I would say that in all of this, and I know it's been a while since we've done a podcast, and maybe someone's tuning in for the first time, let's not forget that we're just not talking about some missing girl. Let's remember that Jessica's a mother, a daughter. She's very loved. Her family is devastated, and this is like torment to them. She has a 3-year-old child that hasn't seen her mommy. Her mother just wants her daughter back. Andy just wants his daughter back. Haley just wants her best friend back. I think a lot of that gets lost when we start talking about theories and all of that, but in the end it comes down to her family is missing her. I mean, she was a huge part of that family, and I just don't want that to get lost.
Right, and another important point that gets lost too is that, yes, she may have been an addict, but I think that anybody listening is affected by somebody close to them that has been affected by drugs, and the sad thing is the fact that she is an addict is probably why this case doesn't have the attention that it deserves, which is just, I see it over and over again, but I thought that maybe this case would be different because you have Nancy Grace involved, and Nancy Grace made some statements, and then she kind of disappeared a lot more than most. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a case like this where there's so many different stories. Usually there'll be one story perpetrated by different outlets. But a lot of people hear drug addict and they think, oh, all these bad things. But we said this in other episodes. She wasn't too far gone at all. She was kind of new to the whole drug game. So
she was.
No one's a lost cause, but she, you know, she had so much life ahead of her.
So far from a lost cause. She was just seeking help in October. She made some bad decisions. She should have stayed with what she was doing. But she is a beautiful soul. And we need her back home with her family. She loves her 3-year-old daughter. She loves her baby. That was her life. That was, you know, the light of her world. She loves her friends. She loves her family. She's not just some addict in the street that, you know, the typical picture that someone thinks if you've never been touched by addiction. If you have, then you know that an addict comes in all shapes, forms, and sizes. And she's definitely, she's someone's daughter. She's someone's mother. Right. She's someone's friend.
Right. And, you know, I see both sides of it. I understand why law enforcement sometimes doesn't jump on these cases right away, but law enforcement that's supposed to be responsible for this is doing a terrible job. But the other agencies are, you know, like I've said over and over, doing better than I've seen.
Absolutely.
But my main concern is that besides the fact that the podcast went silent for almost a month, I think there was that one article that came out where it was anniversary date or something. What was it?
It was just his birthday.
Oh, just his birthday, yeah. But, I mean, besides that, there's been nothing.
Right.
It's almost at the point where it's like, kind of needs to get any news out there. Diesel.
Right, and
right now, any news is good for this case because it needs to be talked about again.
It does need to be talked about, but I will say that law enforcement receives tips almost daily.
I bet.
Yeah, so, and they're still working it, even if you're not, you know, hearing that. And there's a lot of things that we can't say because it's, you know, crucial to the case. But someone out there knows what happened, and they just need to come forward. This has gone on too long. This is torment for her mother, for her entire family.
Right. And we have to realize that even her mother was an addict at one point. So it could get very unhealthy, and that worries me too. But when I say that, what happens is when it goes too silent like this, people, unfortunately, so it's messed up, but people treat this as like their entertainment. It's not entertainment, right? This is someone's life.
Right.
Like you said, someone's life. Diesel! Let me go back to, so basically the reason that it bothers me that her name is not being mentioned is because, like I said, people treat this as a hobby. It's not a hobby. This is someone's life. And they forget about her and they'll move on to another case or, you know, start looking at other things. And it's almost like they forget that she's missing. This happens all the time with cases. It bothers me because, you know, just continue to share. That's the whole point of this. You need to get in front of somebody that has that information. But you can't just forget about her. And I feel like that because of number one, the podcast, and just no news. It just scares me a lot because it's 8 months of no new activity. It's a cold case. I know we're not there yet.
Right.
But time starts to tick, and as you get longer and longer into the case, 8 months flies by like nothing. I just don't want that to happen. I really wish I hadn't gone so long without any episode, but we just couldn't put it together at that point.
Exactly.
Hopefully this will drum up more tips or just more chatter about her. I know there was like some drama that went down, but we need to focus on Jessica again.
Right, and we do need people to share because, you know, the group was changed from, well, it started as public and it was changed private. And so we saw that there was a need for it to go back to a public group. That's why the new group was created. So if people could share that, because we can use as much as we can. So if you're listening, you know, go ahead and share, invite your friends, share the podcast. We need her face everywhere because there is that huge possibility that she's being held against her will somewhere. And a trucker, you know, anybody to see this,
right,
and know something or have seen something. And the other thing that I think people really need to think long and hard about is someone has done something to her. She has not disappeared on her own. So they've either hurt her or they're holding her against her will. Is that really the kind of person that you want to protect? Because that's what you're doing. And this could be your daughter next. This could be your sister. This could be your mom. I mean, you're protecting someone who is evil, in my opinion. So I think that needs to be thought long and hard about too, especially amongst that group of friends. I mean, is that really someone that you want to protect by not coming forward?
Right. And the main reason that we know that she's being held against her will or, you know, something bad's happened to her is that she missed her daughter's birthday. And that's when, you know, Christina really threw this into go mode. Because she would never, I doubt she would have even gone that long without contacting her daughter, never mind missing the birthday.
Absolutely not. And missing her daughter's birthday, now she's missed her birthday. She's missed other events, Easter, Mother's Day. That's not Jessica. She would have never put her baby through that. There's no way.
Right, and we never want to lose hope. Like I've said, even when this case was early on, like you just said about sex trafficking, that needs to be explored. And I'm sure law enforcement is doing what they, you know, I'm sure they have all different methods that they use to look into that. It's hard, though, because that's why, like, she could be anywhere in the world, really.
Really? Really, she could.
So, you know, I know her case has been kind of big, but if it could at least go national, at the least, that would help out a lot.
I know. Where are you at, Nancy Grace? It's about time for an updated story.
I know. I know that maybe like 2 months ago, you said that they had contacted you guys again.
Yep, they had reached out to Christina again, and I thought that they were going to do another story. I'm not sure whatever happened with that.
Okay. That's a good, you know, and if nothing could keeps going out, there's other contacts that I can reach out to as far as getting her name out there. If it gets to that, I just hope it doesn't get to that.
Right.
You know, there's other avenues of that, people who have bigger platforms than me, that would definitely be willing to discuss this case. And that's a good thing, because if the internet wasn't around, most people probably wouldn't even know that she's missing.
Right.
Which is sad. Also, it seems like there's like a really weird Georgia, Florida thing going on. Because I've seen a lot of other cases recently with that going on. Like the big Lila Kavet case that's going on right now.
Right.
And others too. I'm just seeing people being taken across straight lines. And I know that the FBI was in on Lila's case. At first they thought trafficking was a possibility, but so I think there was probably a trafficking route that goes through Georgia into Florida as far as getting the girls and then going. Because Florida, then you have the port right there. It's like a huge port, probably the biggest port in the nation, if I'm correct.
Right.
because obviously when you're sex trafficking someone, you're not commercial flight or...
Right. And Albany's only an hour and 45 minutes, really, from the hour and 45, hour and 30 from the Florida-Georgia line and 3 hours from Panama City. So it's really not that far.
And that's what people need to also understand. You know, she's not going to be staying at the airport. They probably would disguise her. So anything odd that you would take a picture, that helps. And call the authorities right away, too.
Absolutely.
Even if maybe you're a guy who happened to, you know, participate or partake in those type of activities and you see her, I don't think you'd be in trouble if you just gave out that information.
Right, or do it anonymously. Just tell us when, where.
Right.
Go get her.
Right, exactly. You know, because most people are not going to be able to look into those things because they don't involve themselves with that type of activity. And it's okay if you do, but it's like she said, just do it anonymously.
We just want her home. That's it.
So, the next episode, isn't that going to be about the Three Musketeers?
Are we going to do the Three Musketeers next? Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
There's just one last pressing issue that I want to discuss. And that's Nancy Grace. I was very, very, very optimistic about the possibility that she would have continued to push this case and talk about the aspect that, you know, missing addicts, missing mentally ill, they get no coverage. She said it herself. She said if Jessica was from a well-to-do family, this case would be bigger. She herself is the mainstream media and has the ability to change this. She runs her own podcast, webpage. She can tell the writers, the producers, what she wants. They didn't even do a follow-up. I mean, it wouldn't bother me as much if she hadn't came out and actually acknowledged it. And then just basically said, you know, F you to her family and friends. Yeah, she's an addict. She's not getting crap. It bothers me, but I see it all the time. And, you know, I don't really know what else to do or say. I'm just going to continue to bang out awareness for these cases because no one else will. And, you know, that's my passion at the moment. I've always been passionate about addicts and mentally ill. Myself, I'm an addict. You know, once you're an addict, you're always an addict, whether you're doing drugs or not. It's not okay. It's not okay at all.
So the episode is ending now, and I'd like to speak about next. Hopefully we'll get it out sooner than Sunday. And it's going to be on the Three Stooges, Three Musketeers, whatever you want to call them. AJ Cannon, Brian Sadler, and Patrick Rambone. I do have some video footage. There will be a video version of this podcast that will be out tomorrow. And I've already played twice now where we hear Kenny Man-Man when he's asked about 622 pick. I'm going to play it one last time because I think this is so significant. As, you know, my belief, this is a very high possibility that something happened there. I'm still working on getting those pictures of the ransack house, but there will be a video of just pictures for this episode on our YouTube channel tomorrow, and you can just go to Missing Person Cases Network by typing that in on YouTube, and it will come up. And if you could please subscribe and click the bell for notifications. That's where I will answer any questions or, you know, we can discuss the case. There's probably going to be a private group put out there, and that's going to have a lot of information, photos, interviews that, you know, we haven't played on here and we may not play on here. That's going to be along with the Patreon package, which is still in talks. So, hope you enjoyed and look forward to hearing from you.
All right. Let me ask you this. Have you heard anything about her over being, you know, her ODing and being put in a freezer?
What?
You've not heard that? Okay. All right. It was just a friend of mine that I know said that it was told to her that her body was seen in a deep freezer.
If her body was seen in deep freeze, why ain't nobody said nothing about that?
Yeah.
Why ain't nobody reported it?
Yeah.
Because people also been telling her body was found. Just the other day, somebody said her body was found, and it was found in the river, and I was like, I don't hear nobody saying it. I don't hear the news mentioning it. I don't, you know, why ain't this been, you know, broadcast?
Yeah. No, she.
Trust me, I've been doing my best. You know, I've been keeping contact with Jeff and Haley. I've been trying to, you know, I ain't trying to really too much keep in contact with Christina because she really.